In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I am Vikram.
Hi, Vikram.
Hello.
So why don't you tell the good folk what we're doing here?
We select a movie from the IMDb Top 250.
Randomly.
And we toss a coin, randomly, before you said it.
Damn it.
Get assigned sides and feud.
Feud all day, every day.
Right now, just.
And the movie we are feuding about this week is Sir Ridley Scott's sci-fi horror classic Alien.
I actually did not know he was knighted. I mean, good body of work, but fucking knighted, dude?
Good body of work, but I'm pretty sure we've seen some Ridley Scott fucking duds, right?
Definitely. Do you remember this one called Exodus?
No, I don't, because I saw the trailer, and as much as I want to see Christian Bale with eye makeup a la Dark Knight, I decided to skip that one.
Dude, when it came out, I was in that zone where I was a Bale super fan. So if you would have done a Hello Kitty commercial, I would have f***ing watched it.
Anybody would watch Christian Bale doing a Hello Kitty commercial, super fan or not.
You're right. And I saw it and, oh God, bro, it was atrocious. It was torture.
But that's not what we're discussing today. That movie will never make it the IMDb Top 250. The movie we are going to talk about today is Alien, a movie that I have not watched.
I can't believe that. How do you keep doing this to yourself?
Well, what do you mean? What's this fucking moral high ground about not watching a movie?
It's not my genre. It's not a moral high ground. It doesn't have to be a genre. It's just one of those movies that...
All right, you know what? Let me just get all my cards out on the fucking table here.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Ridley Scott and not having watched Alien, I have not watched Blade Runner.
What?
I don't know, man. Like, I just never got around to it.
I need a moment.
I've read a lot of the short stories it's based on.
None of that, man. You're always reading up on shit and like watching like all of these like fucking YouTube videos about shit.
This is exactly why we do this podcast. We get to watch movies on the IMDb Top 250. We never watched. 250 weeks from now, we would have watched all the movies.
So you wanna tell the good folk what we do with the coin toss?
Sure, I'm going to toss the coin, and if it's heads, I go for the movie, and if it's tails, I go against. And the Film Feud coin has a way of knowing which side I want to go for.
Or which side I want to go for.
Sure, you can tell yourself whatever you want to sleep at night. There's a god, sure. And it's heads. I say that with confusion, because I don't really know what that means. I haven't watched the movie.
Well, I am going to say something with utter conviction.
And you watched the movie, and you were very indignant that I hadn't seen the movie.
I was indignant because it's a movie that everyone should have seen by now.
What did you think when you saw this movie?
I'm actually very happy that I'm against this movie.
Of course you are. Of course there's a god.
God or no god, man. Like, I'm actually happy with this coin toss.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy too, I guess. I guess we'll find out. At least I gotta watch the movie. Let's see what it's all about. Let's see what the hoopla is about.
So, are you ready to watch the movie?
Of course. But before we do, we should just take a moment to thank our sponsor.
Of course.
So, Vikram, who are sponsored this week?
Well, not a who. Sponsored this week is the Chinese food we just gobbled down before this episode started.
No way.
Yeah.
But I paid for that food.
Yes, you did. So, in a way, you're our sponsor for this week.
What? Wow, that's amazing. Do I get any perks now that I'm the sponsor?
Not a perk per se. You get a tip of the hat from me. Tip of the hat, sir.
I accept your tip of the hat.
And thanks again.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, this episode brought to you by the Chinese food I paid for. So, ready to do this?
Yeah, let's go watch this movie, man.
Let's go watch Alien.
This movie was horse shit.
Ugh, what the hell are you talking about, dude? That was so unexpectedly good. I was like kind of meh about it. I'd never seen it. And that actually scared the shit out of me, man.
Really?
Like, it was so realistic and gripping and all the tension building, like, actually worked. And the cool part about it was that even though I knew that, you know, Ellen Ripley, Sigourney Weaver is the star of it, so I knew the ending, it still worked for me. And that was the amazing part. Like this movie holds up almost 40 years later. Kudos, man.
You know what? There are movies you watch when you're young or in your teenage years and stuff. And then those are like those classic movies. This is considered to be one of them. I don't get why.
I get it now. This movie made me want to watch Aliens. That's the last thing I expected. Now I'm like, I can't wait to check out what Cameron did with that shit. My point is, this is like the best slasher movie I've ever seen. Like, I don't watch those kind of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of movies. I don't watch movies where, you know, they have like jump cuts and the music forces you to feel like some horror or whatever. This movie did none of that shit. I'm so glad I finally got a chance to see it because it was like the perfect horror movie that I could actually like.
There are so many flaws in this movie and none bigger than the depiction of an alien. I really, really feel the f***ing Alien vs. Predator did it better. No. Mars Attacks did it better. No. Koi Mil Gaya did it better. Fucking Jadoo was a better alien than fucking whatever the f*** I just saw right now.
You literally just Googled movies with aliens in them.
I didn't even have to Google it. It was in my mind. Jadoo was so fucking good, dude.
Jadoo was an E.T. ripoff. And Predator was an alien ripoff. I mean, the actual Predator, the creature, versus the xenomorph in Alien.
You get me wrong, sir. I'm not talking about Predator. I'm saying the alien in Alien versus Predator was better than Alien.
Sure, it had like 25 years to work on it.
Sure.
Before this, the alien depiction was actually like Mars Attacks. Like, that's the closest we used to get. And in this, it was like this fully formed, a bit too quick fully formed, if you ask me.
Yes, what the f***, man? How the hell does Jadoo grow so fast, bro?
Can we establish early
no,
on?
No, I will be calling the Jadoo. Alien Jadoo throughout this podcast. What the hell is he eating? It's like he has a protein shake IV attached to him the entire time.
You're thinking too anthropomorphically.
Don't start that again.
No. It's the one where the humans are the center of the universe. You don't know how fast alien metabolism works. If you looked at a blue whale, you'd be like, oh, what is it eating? Like other blue whales? Like how does it grow so big?
I would be very curious to know how it's growing so big. Also, how does Jadoo grow so big? Jadoo only grows big to serve a purpose in the movie that, oh, it's a fully formed alien now. Abhi bachcha tha, chunnu tha, chusa sa tha, abhi bahut bada ho gaya, tumhari marne wala hai.
Yeah, oh shit. Oh my god, aliens are capable of anything. Let's just take a step back here because I just want to make something clear. So I have not watched any other alien franchise movie. For instance, I have not seen Alien vs. Predator. I have watched Predator though with the Schwartz.
And The Governor.
But the one movie I did see in theaters for some reason, just because it was out in theaters, was Prometheus. And that movie was kind of a piece of shit, but
Much better than this one, right? Right? That's what you're about to say, right? Right?
No.
Just say.
Stop it, firstly. What I was about to say was like, watching Alien actually made me appreciate Prometheus more. The cool part about Alien as a standalone movie is that it doesn't explain none of that shit. It doesn't give a fuck. It's just like a total mind fuck to us as it would be to the crew, which makes it all the more exciting. Like, one moment somebody's face is being hugged, and then another moment somebody's chest is being burst. Yeah. And another moment, it's a fully formed alien. It's like a total, what the f*** is going on? I don't know how to keep up with this. Which is exactly what the crew is going through.
I actually agree with the whole point about Prometheus. I saw it when it came out as well. And I hadn't seen Alien or Aliens or anything in a long, long time. And I saw Prometheus and I hated it. And watching this movie again makes me love Prometheus. I think Prometheus is 100 times better than this f***ing movie. And I hated that movie when it came out. So goes to say how much I hate this movie. And another thing I want to point out here is, I believe you and I both saw the director's cut this time around, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the differences between the director's cut and the original because I only watched this one. But the director's cut was released in 2003 as like the 25th anniversary. And I had this one review that summarized it perfectly. It said the best thriller of 2003 was actually made in 1979. Beautiful, dude. I totally agree.
But I'll tell you why I feel Prometheus does it better. This movie banks on visual elements, yet it has a hollow story. Problem with that is that great sci-fi movies, I'm taking the horror element out of it. The great sci-fi movies, they have great stories. And then they have the visual elements that sort of drive them through, that like take them to the next level and stuff like that. And this movie falls flat when it comes to the story of it, right?
The story is nothing. It's a very self-aware slasher flick where it's like, what if an alien? It's a self-contained, almost like a locked room story. That's what makes it perfect. I mean, this desolation of a spaceship and space and actually making the ship and its crew like living, breathing, very realistic. What would cargo workers 50 years from now actually look like and talk like and dress like and feel like? And then you introduce an alien. That's it. I actually just want to see what would happen in that situation. It's perfect.
I would have been completely fine with that, except the way this movie was shot and the way they tried to tell the story. There were so many sci-fi elements in it, and it looked like a movie that begged to be classified as a sci-fi movie, yet it just turned into one of those popcorn horror masala type flicks.
Okay, let me address a couple of things. One, yes, there were sci-fi elements, and they were amazing. This movie had legit visual effects for 1979. I mean, it was obvious they're drawing a lot of inspiration from 2001, and there was this whole like Star Wars mania that was going on at the time. But if you compare this to Star Wars, which only came out, I guess, a couple of years before Alien, I mean, they just took it to the next level. They made it like a real lived-in vibe. They spent a lot of time in imagining exactly what these spacecrafts would look like from a human science real perspective, not just from a sci-fi fantasy perspective. And so it's blending the sci-fi genre with this like realistic horror genre. And that's where it's killing it.
I do not agree with you, obviously. Completely.
Shocking.
See, you're underestimating the sci-fi element of this movie. I think this movie begs to be a sci-fi movie.
Okay, which gets me to the next point, which is Ash. Ash the android. Ash the secret android, which I'd watched Prometheus already, and so, I don't know, the role of David, Michael Fassbender in it is kind of weird. This was actually really cool. I mean, I can only imagine what an amazing reveal it was in 1979. And having not known anything about it and not watched the movie, I thought it was an amazing reveal.
Speaking of Ash, since you've jumped to that point.
That's the sci-fi element you were talking about, right? Amongst others.
No, I mean, amongst others, obviously. So the idea of an android in the movie was one of the two positives I have for this movie, right?
Oh, boom. Ash point for me. Done.
Just underline idea here, not the execution. The f***ing android looked like it was made of thermocol and jizz. What the f*** was happening there, dude? I understand it's 1979, but still, f***ing shit could have been done way better.
No, the point is it's not 1979, it's 2050 or whatever the year
I'm talking about when the movie was made and what was at Ridley Scott's disposal make an android, or like, oh bro, I'm going to make an android, let's try to make it unique and not like a typical robot and some shit.
No.
Fine, I'll just jizz in its neck, right? And I just like stick some thermocol balls there and boom, I'm an android.
Can we stop with the jizzing on Bilbo Baggins imagery? Because that's what I keep saying. The Ian Holm playing the android Ash and then Bilbo Baggins made of jizz and thermocol. All right.
This movie is inspired by two movies only. Space Odyssey and The Thing. That's it. There is no other influence in this movie.
No, it's like Jaws, Star Wars, and the kid got none of the recessive genes.
No, that's that elevator pitch that came out after this movie came out. Oh, this movie's like Jaws, this, and the kid came out. That's it
actually is the elevator pitch that came out when the movie was being made.
I think this was something that would be said to sell to the studios.
Yeah, so it was Jaws on a spaceship. And in fact, what happened was that Star Wars became the huge runaway hit that it did. And everybody wanted in on the Star Wars thing. And so 20th Century Fox, which made the movie, had actually, you know, approved a certain budget. I think it was like $5 million or so. And then post-Star Wars, they doubled the budget. And thank God they did, because that's what took it to the next level.
Dude, I still think, like, watching the movie, the 2001 and The Thing, it's... Have you heard of The Thing, by the way? Just to recapture what the movie is. It's literally the same story, except it doesn't take place on a spaceship. It just takes place on a deserted outpost. That's it.
Right.
There's a group. They find an alien. Alien takes them out one by one, and that's it.
They actually referred to the xenomorph alien as the thing in the movie as an homage to that.
An homage to it. But that's it. There's just two movies that's an homage to. That's it.
I haven't seen The Thing, and so I'm betting this is a much better version of it. And it helps that it's in space.
It f***ing should be. The Thing came out in the 1950s.
That logic makes no sense. The point is, Alien holds up. It doesn't matter how long it's been. And that's another testament to how good the visual effects were at the time. I can't believe they hold up right now. But they went with a version of reality that was bound to hold up.
You think the visual effects, A, were good, and B, hold up?
Academy Award for visual effects, well deserved.
Jizz robot. That last scene when that fucking alien's dangling from the spaceship, dude.
That was a little weird.
A little? That was the worst visual effects scene I've ever seen in my whole life. I can recreate that scene with 4 cardboard boxes... A G.I. Joe and 2 eggs. I swear, that's all I need, and I will make that scene better.
Firstly, why would you get a G.I. Joe when you can just get a toy alien instead?
G.I. Joe's cheaper. So,
dude, the chest bursting, so good. Even though I knew that's what happens at some point, and again, they refer to it slightly in Prometheus, that just came out of nowhere, man. Like, that was the one, like, horror gore element of this, but it was executed so well. And a really interesting point here, to get, like, the original reaction of the crew when that happens, which I think makes the scene completely, Ridley Scott actually did not tell them what's going to happen. They were actually just kind of crowded around, like, the John Hurt character. And they didn't know that it's going to burst out of the chest like that. And they rigged it up to burst out of the chest. And so they got this like original reaction, which is awesome.
That's actually pretty interesting. I didn't know that.
I was like, wow, these guys are acting really well. And I was like, I wonder how many takes they did. But that's how they did it.
The small tidbit that you just mentioned about that scene makes it slightly more interesting. But the execution of that scene, it looks so bad.
Why? I thought it looked okay. I mean, 1979.
Dude, 1979, they've done 2001, they've done Close Encounters of the Third Kind, they've done Star Wars, they've done everything, literally. 1979
is... It looks the same level as the shark in Jaws, which everybody thought looked amazing, and I've never really thought, and I went to Universal Studios and saw it, and it looks like a joke. But it was like the 1970s, that's what special effects used to be.
Okay, everyone hates on Yoda from Star Wars.
Yoda was a fucking puppet, and this he was... talked funny. Yoda was meant for kids, and this wasn't, and it looked... Yoda was for kids, was this was for horror, supposedly. It looked like gruesome and kind of weird and like gross. At least it looked better than Jadu.
Jadu was the jam, bro.
Jadu. Jadu. I'm nodding my head left and right. I can't help it.
And another thing I want to talk about here is it's actually a pretty major point. Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, yes. The best badass character in this movie.
Is this like one of her first few movies or first major role, I believe, right?
This is her first major role, yeah. And I think it's like a second or third movie overall.
I fail to understand why she's so famous today.
Firstly, you have to understand that it's a lead woman character, which gets me to a few important points. One is that the entire crew is actually the protagonist in the beginning. Like, with all these slasher flicks and stuff, there's usually one protagonist. Instead, here, it's like the entire crew. You don't know whether it's going to be Tom Skerritt, the captain, or Ian Holm, or your boy John Hurt, who's going to be the lead character, which helps you actually feel nervous for all the characters. It's like Game of Thrones. Like, anybody could die. Nobody has plot armor in this movie. And then Ellen Ripley, the character Sigourney Weaver plays, emerges as such a badass because she, from the start, is constantly has the grit to actually make the tough decisions. Like, she doesn't want to let people into the hatch. She's super, like, she has the best decision-making throughout. Like, she's instantly willing to abandon the ship. She knows it can only take four. She takes charge so quickly. And then she strips onto underwear and kills a fucking alien.
I've always thought she was a horrible actor, and I rewatched Alien. Because you like this movie so much, I believe you'll be rewatching it at some point onwards, or her other movies. Her eyes are dead. There is no emotion in her eyes, even when she's apparently petrified.
That's because she's a hardened cargo worker, bruh.
No. She's petrified. She's trying to emote that she's petrified, but her eyes look like someone who's fucking stoned.
Yeah, that's what you would look like too if somebody in your crew had been face-hugged and chest-bursted.
No, but then she's trying to emote the exact opposite
thing. Okay. I'll concede a little bit. I guess I'll probably maybe agree with you slightly on the rewatch, because I can see where you're coming from. On a related note, what really got me was, like, once the chest bursting happens, everybody kind of progresses forward just as though it's another thing. Like, yes, it's a problem and a conflict, but they don't react like, what the f*** did we just witness? Right. Like, if I was in that room, like, as natural as the actor's reaction was, I'd just be hugging my knees, yelling, oh my God, oh my God, oh right. My God, oh
and
my
even
God.
The follow-ups, oh, it's in the vents, oh, we should do this.
And the fact that Ellen Ripley acts like she does, like, totally in charge, making the right decisions, being super rational, that's part of her character. And that's what I thought Sigourney Weaver displayed perfectly.
Dude, she would have made a better android in the movie than Ash. She's just like, okay, yeah, but I'll tell you what I think of her acting, actually. I think she acted worse than f***ing Stallone did in The Expendables. Hear me out. For me personally...
You're reaching so hard. You're trying for me, so hard.
Hear me out. For me personally, Stallone in The Expendables is the lowest bar in acting for someone who has a credible body of work to their name. My bottom three are Jesse Eisenberg, Mel Gibson.
Jesse Eisenberg. What was he terrible in?
Everything. He's the same in everything.
But he was amazing in Social Network.
Because that was his first major role.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, fine. Same Stallone for Rocky.
Okay, so Jesse Eisenberg, Stallone.
Mel Gibson and Sylvester Stallone are my bottom three. And fucking Sigourney Weaver makes a case to enter that bottom three. Everything she's done.
What's the criteria again? What's this list?
Consistently the worst acting you've ever seen ever. Watch her in any other movie. Watch her in all the other Aliens. You're putting so much emphasis on her acting. I think it has more to do with her character.
Okay,
her acting was so robotic, so monotonic, so fucking bland, man. It was horrible.
I just added that into the character. But yeah, sure. I mean, I'll grant that in a way. But honestly, if you thought she acted bad, then I guess she didn't need to, because her character and the sort of at least grit that she brings to it, even if she's not emoting perfectly, just takes care of the rest of it.
You know, one big issue I have with this movie, which sort of sums up everything I have to say or think about this movie, is that it tries to fluctuate between this wannabe intelligent sort of sci-fi movie. Like they try really hard to build that ambience for the movie, and then it just switches to this popcorn masala horror movie, and then there's no balance in the fluctuation. It just keeps happening on and off, like, you know, Ripley going to check out John Hurt's character and a f-ing thing falls, and then it's like, ooh, and then this jumps out and that jumps out, but then they're also trying to do this slow f-ing 3-minute opening sequence of the spaceship going through space, the eerie almost non-existent background music. It's confusing, and it's confusing to watch as well, and it's actually very cringy to watch because you know that the director's f***ed massively.
Yeah, right. Ridley Scott f***ed up in 1979. That's why he's the amazing director and got all the opportunities he did today. As for your stupid point about genre crossing, I mean, you're just complaining that this doesn't neatly fit into one genre, whereas the magic is coming from the jugalbandi of the sci-fi and the horror. Yeah, it's like a saxophone and drums just playing together, just melding beautifully with face huggers, but also slow introduction to the spaceship with chest bursting, but also like no background music, no jump cuts, no musical cues for scares.
I think the jugalbandi is more akin to a fucking didgeridoo and a ukulele. That's how mismatched it is.
I am aware of the didgeridoo as a reference. Is that what it is?
The big old pipe, like.
Oh yeah, the thing they have in the Yanni song.
The Yanni song.
Yeah. There's a Yanni song based solely around the didgeridoo.
Dude, I don't know Yanni songs. Yanni for me is just like hair flowing piano. Pounding that shit.
I went to the Yanni concert live at the Taj in 1990, whenever it was. It was the first concert I ever went to. It blew my mind. And the closer for that concert, he brings out like some Australian Aboriginal guy with the didgeridoo. That's what it is, right? It's Australian, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this like Aboriginal guy, it's a little kind of on the nose if you think about it, because he's actually wearing like Aboriginal like kacha and like paint and shit.
It's an 90s, comes, bro. Everything went.
That's true. Yeah. And then he comes and plays the didgeridoo, and then like all the opera singers start up, and then Yanni with his like 8 keyboards just starts losing it. Oh my god, dude. It was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Well, congratulations, you got to view that.
So your stupid analogy about the jugalbandi and didgeridoo has evoked a very nostalgic memory for me. So I thank you for that. But your point is stupid. It actually works really well together, because the slow parts connect emotionally, and that makes every death matter in the horror part. And the sci-fi part is because obviously the alien portion is sci-fi, and that builds on the horror part because you don't know what the hell the alien is up to. It's actually very Hitchcockian in that way.
I'd like to give it up for you, actually. You think very well on your feet. You just came up with a lot of bullshit on the fly. That's f***ing amazing, dude.
You're just giving me points right here. Yeah. Boom.
I'm giving you points, not this movie. Please don't be mistaken.
That's the same thing. I'm here to win the feud. I'm not here to...
You are this movie. I am alien. I am Jadu.
Oh, Jadu. This is going to stick. I'm going to watch all the other Alien movies now, and I'm always going to think about him as Jadu.
Yes! Yes, my point. My purpose is so...
Alien.
Speaking of Jadu, dude, the last scene where she goes in her shuttle, whatever it is, she finds Jadu sort of hidden in the tapestry of the ship or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
It's so anticlimactic in the sense that Jadu's shown to be such a kill machine, but he gives her so much time to run away, put on a space suit, and Jadu's just sitting there waiting for her.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
That made no sense. Jadu in the movie shown as this lethal monster who would like, in a second, wipe you off out of this world, and then he's just still sitting there after seeing her.
Jadu is like Richard Parker, dude.
Richard Parker.
Do you know what I'm referring to?
Is this Pissin?
Yeah, Life of Pissin, Life of Pi. Jadu is like Richard Parker. Yes, he's like a feral, like kill machine like a tiger who will rip you to shreds. But once in a while, Jadu needs to rest too. And sometimes you share a spaceship or a ship or a boat in the wide ocean of space with him. He'll just lie dormant and give you enough time to do whatever you want.
Firstly, love it that you're calling him Jadu. Secondly, do you think Life of Pi is an homage to Alien?
Yeah, just the last 3 or 4 minutes or so of Alien is what inspired Life of Pi.
You know who got it right in this movie?
Who?
The black guy.
What do you mean?
He had the right idea. Think about this, okay? He had a bandana on, pulls out these machine weapons, wants to go on a kill spree. It would have been Rambo Alien Edition, and that would have made the movie 100 times better. Throw Stallone in, doesn't make a difference in terms of acting. They're on the same level. And it would have been so much better. Just go all out with the whole popcorn thing. Or go all out with the whole sci-fi thing. Just don't try to juggle it. Again, didgeridoo and ukulele. Makes no sense. It's just coming off so confused. But okay, another thing about the ship. Mother?
Yeah, it's like HAL, except Mother.
Mother. The sci-fi element is so forced right now. Mother.
Dude, this stuff was actually really groundbreaking for the time. You actually inject sci-fi into a story or a story into sci-fi. Game changer.
Mother, please start the cooling system. Mother, kill Jadu for me. What the f*** is that? Mother makes no sense. It's just so forced again. I just don't want to use that word again and again, but it's so forced in terms of pushing a sci-fi element or this intelligent being managing your ship. Oh, let's just call it Mother.
All right, we've gone to the point where you're complaining about the name of the
computer
system.
It's such a huge thing. It makes no sense. They could have called it f***ing Ricky or like it wouldn't have mattered, dude. Mother.
Exactly. It wouldn't have mattered.
But it does matter when you call it Mother.
Yeah, she's a mother, mothership, mothership, mother. Get it?
No.
All right.
Fine. I do not.
All right. If you've devolved into this level of discussion, why don't we just summarize and end this? I think my summary is pretty easy. I don't watch any creature feature or horror movies. Given that, I thought this one was awesome. Like, this is going to be my standard for any future ones that I watch.
You know what my summary for this movie is?
Yeah.
It's Jadu running around the f***ing ship, just being like, idhar chala, main udhar chala, protein shake peeke, main udhar gaya, are chup gaya. Aur fir main mar gaya.
Excellent rendition of the Koi Mil Gaya song.
Thank you, sir.
That does summarize it pretty well. That being sung, I think you're way off and you have no chance of winning this feud. And because of that, I'd like to offer you my condolence in a very Alien, the movie, specific way.
Okay.
To quote Bilbo Baggins, a.k.a. Ian Holm, a.k.a. Ash.
A.k.a. Jizz Robot.
A.k.a. Jizz Robot. About the probability of you winning this feud, I would like to say, I can't lie to you about your chances, but you have my sympathies.
So guys, that was this week's episode of Film Feud.
Thanks for listening. And I hope you enjoyed Vikram singing as usual. You've been singing a lot lately, have you noticed?
Yeah, I like singing.
Oh yeah?
Kinda.
Should we change the nature of this? Should this be like a song-off movie battle where we can only talk in song?
Maybe. I think whenever I'm against a movie and like a movie that I genuinely hate,
it just comes out of you. We should do a musical episode of Film Feud one day. We'll build to it.
A musical episode where like the entire thing is music?
Yeah.
Okay. Will you be singing as well?
Well, if Russell Crowe could sing in Les Miserables, then I can do it.
Russell Crowe's actually a musician, just FYI.
Well, he sounded atrocious in Les Miserables.
He's in like a band and stuff.
You were in a band too. Look at you sing.
It's f***ing amazing. Also, I was not the singer in my band.
These kids don't even know you're the lead singer of your band.
Okay. Thanks for that.
So, time to select next week's film and use the Film Feud wheel.
You know what? F*** that. I think we can do something more interesting.
Oh, that was so natural, as though we didn't plan this.
Hey man, don't give it away.
All right, so what are we doing that's interesting?
We are inviting our listeners to select next week's movie for us.
Ooh, how exciting. And how do they do that?
Twitter. Reach out at FilmFeudPod, and the first person who reaches out and tweets at us with the movie that they want us to feud on... That's the movie.
That's crazy.
Simple.
That's so much power with one tweet. That's like Trump-level tweet power.
But it's the first person who reaches out. Not the third, not the second, not the fourth. This is the first one.
You didn't even get the order right.
Is there an order?
Of numbers? Yes.
My bad. I didn't do mathematics that much.
So this is exciting. Make sure you tweet at us at @FilmFeudPod.
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you guys listen to your podcasts.
Look forward to hearing from you and feuding on your next movie.
Peace.